Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's March 22nd, 2023. We're here to cover AEW Dynamite. We got so much stuff for you here at youtube.com/Fightful and Fightful.com. Interviews this week with Dominic Mysterio, Alex Hammerstone, Alicia Atute, her first since becoming a free agent, Yo-Yo, Dax Harwood, Ak Yasukawa. Then on Sunday, who else? We got Masha. My God. And then next week, we do it all over again. We've doubled up the interviews for you, but you're here to check out the AEW Dynamite review. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I'll tell you how you can interact with us directly, get your questions or statements read on the air shortly. We had a show today, the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast, completely super chat and humper chat driven. We've got Alex Pawlowski here with you. You can see him every Tuesday night on the Post NXT review. You can see him over on FightfulSelect.com every Monday and Friday. You'll be able to see him several times next weekend post WrestleMania on Fightful Select. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I had no idea who that guy was who was fighting Kenny Omega, but turns out he's pretty good. I mean, if only they had run several dozen weeks of promos introducing me to him, maybe I would have liked it a little bit more. But as it is, only 9.5 out of 10 for me.
Here's what I love. Marcos Lopez is already showing us love. He's saying respect to both guys for putting on a great performance. We're only two minutes into the show, Alex, and people
we're already getting this is awesome chance.
We're justified. This is awesome chance.
Justified.
Very from justified. Our audience. Guys, if you want to get your question or statement read on the air, addressed on the air, answered on the air, you can send super chats here on youtube.com/Fightful or humper chats. And some of you go, what the hell are humper chats? Well, it is a double entendre from both camels and the act of humping, both of which are wonderful. Humperchats.com allow you to leave your question or statement before we go on the air. You can leave one right now for Day After Dynamite with Will Washington on Thursday or Grapsody on Saturday. And they will make sure that you get that. Our great moderator, Luis, here. I'm going to start doing a thing. Like, for example, if you guys want to leave a super chat or a humper chat ahead of the show on Tuesdays or Thursdays or Fridays, and I'm not there, I'll make sure that they get that to me and I can answer it as best as I can if it's something like inside news. But hey, if that ain't enough for you, every single week I've got a Q&A podcast over on FightfulSelect.com. Speaking of FightfulSelect.com, here's the big plug for it today. We talked to Alicia Atute. That interview is out publicly now, but we had the notes up early. The first interview she did since becoming a free agent, we broke that news on Tuesday. But we've also spoken to Dax Harwood about CM Punk and his conversations with Punk. And then our friends at the Pro Wrestling Podcast posted this on Instagram, and it conjured up some comments out of CM Punk, Alex. I had posted that Dax Harwood told us at Fightful Select that Punk reading Steve Kern's book, The Former Skinner, has got him missing wrestling. And he said, yeah, there's a great story about the Gator Man and Coco Beware getting into a fight backstage, and then Lawler brought him into the office and they squashed it. Which seems awfully pointed, Alex.
Yeah, it does seem like, I wonder what that reminds us of.
Yeah, and Punk says that this is giving him the itch to write. Listen, all I can say is come write for FightfulSelect.com, please.
Do that, yeah.
I'm sure Jimmy will pay whatever that takes. But, yeah, we FightfulSelect.com conjured up some comments out of CM Punk. And again, just $5 a month, and you get exclusive news, news before anybody else. It can get sent straight to your email or your phone, plus up to 40 podcasts a month. We're talking reviews, news shows, Q&A shows. It's the best value you'll find in pro wrestling. I'm so excited about it. But we already have some super chats and humper chats. Chris Kessler says, what's the point of giving a main event to a relatively unknown guy that is unsigned? Couldn't someone in AEW have had that chance to have a great match? All I can say is no. No. The answer is no. This is a match they've been trying to do for 2 years, and they couldn't in 2021 for reasons. They couldn't in 2022 because Kenny wasn't wrestling. And now that Vikingo is able to wrestle in the States, his schedule is so packed that it's tough for him. Now, the benefit of AEW and the reason they're able to make this happen a lot more, Alex, is because they run Wednesdays, and there ain't a lot of wrestling companies out there that run on Wednesdays, which is very beneficial for them. But we'll talk more about that match a little bit later on. The big question is, Alex, how is AEW going to replace the three-point shooting of Nick Jackson with him sidelined? He got attacked in the parking lot. We saw him drain 6 of 7 threes at the community event. Very impressive, honestly.
No, he was. I wanted to start dropping the money ball. Get the money ball on those racks, you know, because that's worth 3 points, right? So,
I would do anything to see a WWE AEW charity basketball game. You got Satnam and Omos in the post, and everybody just leaves the court. They just leave the court. Everybody walks off. You know an idea I heard today, Alex, that was so stupid, and I loved it? Somebody says, okay, you know what it should be? You start off with two people playing basketball, then every two minutes, two more people join. And that's I said, that's dumb. I love it. I want that immediately. Give me that.
That's great, because at some point, every team's gonna like the heels, obviously it'll be the heels, would have the advantage. So they'd be playing 2-on-1, then 3-on-2, then 4-on-3. Finally, when it all gets, here's the thing, points don't count until it's 5-on-5. But you could just throw elbows and do kind of crazy stuff and everything, windmill dunks.
Oh, it's fantastic. Well, Nick Jackson got that ass whooped in the parking lot. Kenny and Don are fretting backstage. We'll talk more about that later on. We start off with Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, and Sting. I say this every time that I see Sting wrestle. I will never take for granted that I get to see Sting wrestle. It is always very cool to me. Orange Cassidy had the customary Sting's partner face paint, which was just OC. And I really enjoyed this match. Only thing I didn't enjoy was Sting not selling right out of the gate. To me, I'm like, all right, maybe sell for the big man. Like that one was, I wasn't necessarily keen on that one.
I love the idea that in kayfabe, Sting's ring rust is that he can't no sell until he works himself back into ring shape. You know what I mean? Like he's got to knock the dust off the old boots. So the things like a big right hand to the side of the head will actually stagger him now. But in 2 weeks, you're not going to get away with that in the old Stinger.
I got somebody saying Sting always no sells. That's a charm. Right out of the gate against a guy that size, I'm like, maybe sell for him a little bit, then no sell on the comeback.
Like, no sell. There's a way to do it where it's no sell for Kip, no sell for the Blade, and then the Butcher hits him once.
Yes.
Rocks him down, back up, Butcher again, and then again and again and again, and that's how you actually get him over.
That's
like, the idea of that. That it's different depending on different guys. Context should matter.
Yeah, Kip Sabian, who I love, by the way, he killed it tonight. He had the crowd in the palm of his hand. That's who you do that spot with, I think. But I thought this match was really good. Sting doing the Orange Cassidy spot was good. I like that. That's a good callback. And I see people saying Sting shouldn't no-sell at all. He's 60. Yeah, but he's not supernatural, but... he's the one that I look at and I suspend my disbelief for a little bit. And I'm like, okay. He's got the power of Jesus, Alex.
I mean, well, that too. The power of the scorpion, you know.
That's true.
You know, so like that, both those things, I think, combined. But no, there are some situations where I think the no-sell really, really, really works, especially just to pop. Listen, it's not like this is for the title or something. Like, it's a fun... house show six-man tag on steroids. It's a lot of fun. You can throw a no-sell in there. It's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah, again, I thought Kip Sabian killed it tonight. Like, he got a great reaction from this crowd, and I've been saying it for a long time, man. He's better than a lot of people give him credit for. Jam Beard says only three people in AEW are undefeated. Jade, Hook, and Sting, not bad company to be in. It absolutely isn't. Rerun says 2023. I've been watching Sting since elementary school. WTF. Well, depending on almost everybody's age, most of the audience has been, or since before they were born. Mm-hmm. But of course, they get the win. Darby is looking up at the sign. I felt like there was a production snafu here. Mm. They missed Sting doing hands in the pocket to repeatedly show us Darby looking at the sign. I feel like they could have focused a little bit, just show Sting doing that, and then cut back to how serious Darby was in that moment. And I think that could have been a little bit better. We also got a Four Pillars video package as well. No MJF on tonight's show. No Jack Perry. No Sammy, I don't think, as well.
Nope.
So Darby was the featured person here, and they leaned very heavily into... this is main eventing Double or Nothing. And to that, I say, cool. Hell yeah, man. Let it main event Double or Nothing. If they can stretch it out and make it compelling along the way, I'm cool with that.
I think it was Sammy in the, or maybe it was Perry. I could only hear it. I wasn't able to see the TV when it was on, but one of them was talking about how, Max, you say I got to rack up wins before I can get this, this title match. Like, there's plenty of time. It is. These guys have to win so many matches before they get the title shot.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time, but the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Reminder, guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chat. Zach Schimmel saying, subscribe to Fightful Select, you cowards. I see a lot of people talking about Goldberg. That's another story that we broke on FightfulSelect.com this week. Goldberg is a free agent. He has been a free agent for a while. He's already got interest from some independent areas as well overseas that we broke on FightfulSelect.com. But another story that we had on FightfulSelect.com today was in those select portions posts. And we addressed Tony Khan saying, oh, well, I'm keeping a close eye on his free agency. Dude's been a free agent since January 1st. I just finally got the information where I could go forward with it. Tyrone Kidd says, is it crazy to say that Taz is the best commentator out there? Also, no Jericho, no Jeff Jarrett. How happy is Pawlowski? First off, I don't think it's crazy to say that Taz is the best commentator. I think he has that wonderful uniqueness of entertainment and in-ring ability, like in-ring knowledge. He's very, very good. Right. And it was a bit of a refreshing show to not have them. And he's asking for Pow Pawlowski.
Now, I will say that I think that Taz is really great at what he does because so many heel color commentators, I'm looking at you, Corey Graves, are objectively wrong in the stuff that they say and will not back off their point about the heel. Like Taz just is doing a lot of, I'm just saying. He does a lot of, I'm just saying. He throws in an alternative point of view, usually backing up the heel, but he does it in a way that makes you believe he's just trying to see both sides, as opposed to being like, Dominic Mysterio murdered 12 men in prison. Like, that's that's just the wrong thing that you're saying, you know?
My interview with Dominic went up this week. By the way, guys, check it out. It's great. We talk about the stigma of being an ex-con and him stealing Austin Theory's chain. I'm rewatching ECW on TNN. I got a bit of a thread going. And first off, holy shit, there's a lot of racism on that show. Like, unreal. There's some of it that's character-driven. Like, the Don Callis, Cyrus stuff where he's making fun of Tajiri. Sure. Like, it's very clearly designed to, you want somebody to dislike this person. But there's a lot of Gertner stuff that's just like, Jesus, man. And I know there are going to be some people who are like, you snowflake, you're offended. No, you rewatch it. And not on the WWE Network. Not the WWE Network version. I'm watching original airings. Oh, my God. But then there are sometimes Gertner will throw in random color lines that are hilarious. Like, the Sandman comes out. And Joey goes, where is he? And Gertner just goes, the bar. And I'm like, okay. That's with no enthusiasm whatsoever. Mm-mm. And like, sometimes I'll hear Taz do stuff like that. And I'm like, he's still got that ECW in him where like Tony Schiavone tonight was, can somebody please explain his face paint to me? And Taz goes, well, Tony, it's an O and it's a C and it stands for Orange Cassidy. Thank you. And then that was it. And I'm like, ah, that's what I look for out of Taz sometimes when he's being colorful and entertaining. Zach Schimmel says, cool message, gripe, complaint, hot take, troll comment, thing insert here, take my money. Zach, thank you so much. You've always been so generous to us. I appreciate you so much, man. He's been a longtime supporter of ours. Also on FightfulSelect.com, he did a retro review with us. We got dozens of those there on Fightful Select. I don't promote them that much, but we have like 60, 70 episodes of Figure Haul, Card Haul. We got dozens of retro reviews as well. We have a lot of specials on Fightful Select, hundreds of them that I never promote. I'm going to start doing vinyl hauls soon, too, just for some more value. Zach's done two of them. Diggity damn. Jambeard says, the best part of the idea is that Satnam and Omos actually have the most basketball experience. They probably, yeah, that's the thing. They might be running point too, because they've actually handled basketball at a college level. Could you say, I just want to see that. I want to see Omos like at half court doing this.
Yeah.
Like waving everybody, clear the lane.
He hit him with the hezzy. He hit him with the hezzy.
Oh, I badly want to see this. I mean, something that fans will love legitimately. Yeah. Hey, you know what? You sold it on pay-per-view or something like that.
Yeah.
$10 a pop. People would love it.
Yeah,
like it would be a lot of fun. I think they would raise a lot of money for a great cause and possibly build a relationship there.
Yeah.
Wish it would happen. Jade Cargill interview. Layla Gray challenges Taya for Rampage. Okay.
Well, Mark Sterling has sued Taya to stop her using her version of the Jade, which was what, the Road to Valhalla? Is that what she used to call it?
Yes.
She calls it. But obviously she's been doing that move a lot longer than Jade has. So I don't know. It's kind of a thing of like how they're going to get to a point. I love them using it as part of a storyline. Hey, this is my finisher. You stole mine, but now it looks like I stole yours because I'm new here. I think I like them using it as part of a story. My question is there a resolution to it, or is it just going to be like they both get to use the move kind of a thing?
Also, I believe that the Furberry hat last week sold for $1,500 on Smart Mark Sterling's Whatnot page.
Awesome.
So good for him there. But I like them going the finisher route. Meat Norma says, here's a small sack of monies for the Fightful crew. Keep up the great work. Meat loves you. Well, we appreciate you, man. You're always here supporting us, and it means a lot. The Guns defeated Top Flight with OGK as the distraction. I finally have some ideas and plans for Top Flight, Alex, because that's been the thing. Like, it's hard to kind of get them going, like from a story perspective, right? Because they're so good in the ring that I think that Tony Khan relies on, here's a match. And that's what they did tonight. Here's a match. World Tag Team titles. It was a fun match. I've had a lot of people say, Forbidden Door matches, what do you want to see? By the way, sold out today. Incredible success. It's very clearly that needs to become the show. Start going bigger. Yep. I want to see Leo Rush and Yo against Top Flight. Leo Rush recently said that he's had positive conversations with Tony. Tony checks in on him. I want to see some finality to the Leo Rush thing, because I really felt like once Leo Rush left AEW, I felt like it hurt Dante Martin an awful lot. And I was so interested in that angle with Leo Rush and everybody recruiting Dante. I would love to see some story there. And that would be a fantastic match to put on there.
I would love that too. I also feel like, and I don't know, how many teams are going to be in this Reach for the Sky ladder match and ROH, but Top Flight should be in that match. And that's a fantastic way to have them win a ladder match, which seems like they're built for, to become ROH tag champions, get some gold on them, let them have like a 6-month reign, have some really fun feuds. That would be an awesome way to do that.
Top Flight and OGK in the ladder match, says Jambeard. Yeah. Love the idea of them working with OGK. You ain't never going to find anything wrong with a young team working with a veteran team that have, I mean, OGK, again, I talk about versatility a lot. They both worked singles. Matt Taven worked at the very tip top of singles in ROH. Main evented MSG, for the love of God.
Yep.
He, they've worked trios. They've done a lot of stuff. Mike has done comedy stuff. So you want young people working with these experienced talent, but they're experienced talent that are still in their physical prime. You're not going to look at Mike and Matt and be like, well, they're washed up. No, they're not. They are in their physical prime. They are great verbally as well. Like if you ever watched ROH during the pandemic, those two verbally were very, very funny, because you could hear everything at those shows and they would be talking to each other while they're selling. Like, you'd have Matt be like, Mike, you okay? And Mike's like, I'm not doing so great. Like, they, it would be really, really entertaining. And I think they can learn a lot from them. Yeah. And OGK get these amazing dance partners. I think it's great. Jambeard says put Top Flight and OGK in that ladder match. I agree. Mm-hmm. Guns get the win here. OGK gets chased off. So we're setting that up, hopefully for some ROH stuff. But after the match, Alex, first off, what did you think of the match? Guns defeating Top Flight.
I mean, it is what it is. I love Top Flight, and I'm not a huge fan of the Guns. You know, going into this match, what this is here for. I appreciated them protecting Top Flight with a storyline thing. It is also, I don't know how to say this. There's got to come a point where we're no longer running angles on Dynamite to get people to subscribe to Honor Club. That needs to be at some point its own thing. Now, I'm not saying people can't cross over after if Top Flight's ROH champions, for example, or contending for those belts, they should be on ROH. If that program, if they lose the titles and the program they're in ends, then they can come back to AEW. I don't think it does favors for either thing to be like, here's this crossover, because there are a lot of people who just don't have Honor Club or haven't been watching and are kind of confused why the Kingdom is there.
We do.
I mean,
we do
they're
Taven
being
versus,
told that, but yeah.
Taven versus Darius will be on ROH.
Yeah.
And the show's just kicked off. I think they're doing that. I think it's a good way to do it and to promote
that. I'm saying for now, it's great. I don't want them to be doing this in 6, 8, 12 months.
I mean, they got to promote the service.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. It feels like you've got one foot in, one foot out, and I'd like to see.
But I mean, that's what they got. That's what they got. I mean, that's the situation they're in. They tried to get a TV deal, didn't work out. I mean, you can't not promote it. You got to promote
it. Sure.
I think they should probably be doing some "This Happened on ROH" videos as well. Like,
that would be great.
Give me a 60 second thing.
That I mean.
But I mean, I think that you got to build it up. You got to do some cross promotion there. You got Claudio on your show. I think there's a way that you just have to. Chris Kessler says, going to be on the edge of my seat for FTR Guns. That's how you create stakes with the modern audience. Maybe Triple H runs interference. So FTR come out and they challenge the Guns. And the Guns appropriately say, no, you lost 3 title matches, 3 different sets of titles. We beat you. You don't deserve it. So there's nothing you can do that can make us or motivate us to face you, because you already lost a bunch. And I love that. And the FTR kept throwing stuff out there. They're like, we won't challenge for the titles again. We won't team together again. And I thought Austin Gunn did really well here. He's like, no, it's still dumb. We do not care. It's not enough. He went full draft day on them. He's like, Austin Gunn said, I want all my picks back. And then he got them. And FTR said, we will quit AEW if you beat us. Now, Dax has been very, very adamant. Haven't re-signed. I don't know about that, personally. People that I talk to think that they have. Dax won't tell anybody that they have.
Right.
Wouldn't tell me during our interview, which drops Friday, but check out FightfulSelect.com for early notes, that they have. But it's very clear that Dax has been setting the stage to make this more interesting. And I applaud him for that.
Oh yeah. Well, like if FTR is running an angle where if you beat us, we have to leave AEW forever, but also in an interview with you says, oh yeah, we totally re-signed with AEW. Well, that takes away from all of the suspense of the angle they're running. And I think it's a great way to get that angle a little bit more cred, because like if they are leaving, let's say they are, this is a great way to actually do it in storyline. I'd always appreciate that as opposed to this never showed up again. So.
Well, let me tell you, the Guns unleashed one of the all-time great spits in wrestling history.
Yeah.
That thing was hanging and stretching and oh my God, man.
It's bad.
Woof.
Not good.
Yeah, I think the guns are getting heat exceptionally well. They're really doing what they can. And obviously, to me, this is a transition to FTR, but ultimately, yeah. I've been pleasantly surprised with the guns run so far.
No, absolutely. They've done what they needed to do. It's a great storyline thing for FTR. FTR gets a huge pop when they come out. And then the guns get to heal it up and like, cut the music. Nobody wants you here. And then they get a bunch of heat. It's great.
Jambeard says if the guns win, they may have to watch out for Cher Delaware. She might just cut somebody. I mean, if that's the case, Tony Khan might need to start being a little more anonymous. Mm-hmm. He might need to start protecting his data. You don't want her getting in there and like changing the scripts on you. And if that's the case, use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Watch that UFC pay-per-view at a much reduced price because I got it with an overseas service. Thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. Next week, I'm heading to LA. The week after, I'm heading to Indianapolis. Hotel Wi-Fi, airport Wi-Fi, all that stuff. You want to shield your data. NordVPN.com/Fightful not only does that, but has the fastest VPN in the world. 4 additional months for free, a great gift, a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can unlock content that you wouldn't normally have. And when I go to London this year, I'm going to want to watch the same stuff that I watch back at home too. I'll have that option thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. Whether you want a locker, a pass, a VPN, or all three, they have great tiers for you to choose from. They, again, the fastest VPN in the world. It works on all your devices, phone, laptop, desktop, PC. This is the most used sponsor that we have, period. I have tons of people every day telling me that they use it, hitting me up whenever they're trying to get some of those papes on the cheap, and I appreciate that. NordVPN.com/Fightful. And hey, if you like AEW but don't want to watch it with commercials, you can get Fight Plus or AEW Plus on Fight overseas. And there you go. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Hit me up. Let me know how you use NordVPN.com/Fightful. We appreciate them. They are our most generous sponsor. They are the reason, NordVPN.com/Fightful, that we increased from 2 interviews a week to 7 this week. They made that happen. They gave us the resources to make that a possibility. So big thank you. FightfulSelect.com reported in our select portions update that Tech 9 would be at the show. He was. Joshua says, nothing but appreciation for the Fightful crew. Well, thank you so much. Stokely Hathaway versus Hook. Sawyer says, RIP Stoke. He had the wisdom of an owl and enjoyed the lemon pepper wets. He will be missed. Stokely comes out with the firm. Go ahead.
Stokely cutting the promo, but sorry. Doc Severinsen said that I'm not allowed to compete. And so I'm taking this time to retire. I want to thank all my fans, all 12 of you. He's just so great. The only thing better would have been if he'd come out in an oversized salmon jacket to do his retirement speech. That's the only thing that would have made it better. The only thing that would have made it better. And then he takes it off and says, I actually don't have a lot left in me. I don't have anything left in the tank.
I have nothing left in the tank.
I'm done.
I've got nothing left. He hands Justin Roberts a slip of paper that says he's sick on it. And Justin Roberts says, this is a receipt from Wingstop.
Yep.
It was perfect. It was, and it seems like the type of thing that Stokely would write. So
yes,
a lot of people don't realize this. When Stokely was in NXT, he did wrestling training in addition to him having already wrestled. Like, he was doing the bumps and the rolls and all that stuff as well.
Yeah.
So he was going through that as well. And I mean, he gained a lot of respect for people for doing that. And he looked great in this match, like taking the bumps and all that stuff. He got suplexed onto a barricade. Behind him, the firm was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But then they would cheer him on when he looked. And they're watching the TV backstage. And Ethan Page is like, we didn't practice hardcore at all. Like,
it's a no DQ match, and you didn't practice hardcore stuff. I love it. So good.
Hook whips his ass. This is exactly what it needed to be. This is amazing. And yeah, also so- on the live event this weekend, I kept mentioning the method they needed to go. Yeah. You had Hook working a 9-10 minute match with Ethan Page on that live event. That is a really good method. Glad to see that those are successful so far.
Yeah, great stuff. I think that I love the stuff that's happening at these live events. Like, the whole reason this match kicked off the show tonight took place is because Butcher and the Blade were angry about losing to OC and Darby, and we're like, you get a third one because we've got Kip and we're going to face you on Dynamite. And that's a cool thing for the people in the audience at a non-televised event, knowing that what you're watching is canon. Like, yes, that's a cool thing, as opposed to this is a house show, nobody actually cares. But like, no, this is actually stuff that's going to set up matches in the future. That's a really, really cool thing.
I thought them having Pat Buck wrestle was also very cool, too. By the way, that is cool. Jacked.
Man.
Jacked.
He's good shape.
Guy's 38 years old and beat up Big Bill a few years ago backstage Big Bill's not his finest moment, but thankfully looking great now, doing great now, and you love to see that. But I would love if you hear it, that house rules that Sarah Stock is wrestling. I would love to hear that. Like, put her in a tag match with somebody. She wrestled last year, looked like she was in great shape. Sanjay doing stuff like that. BJ Whitmer is there. There's a lot of people that they have that can do stuff. Rebel's not on TV. Have her do something at House Rules or something like that. Sure. There's a lot of people who aren't on TV that you can have do stuff there. Chi-Town Spurs says Stokely's batting 1,000 in AEW. Well, not by winning percentage, my friend.
No.
Jane Beard says, heart of a lion, wisdom of an owl. Adam Cole comes out. It's story time. He wants his match next week, and he's interrupted by Daniel Garcia. Full sports entertainer mode. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Garcia is like, I'm a locker room leader now. You missed that, by the way, because you've been gone for almost a year. Mm-hmm. And Adam Cole is like, you know what? I think you do have a lot of potential, but you're hanging out with Yas, and that's not good for you. So if you want this match, you got this match. I love that after the segment, they were jawing to each other. Daniel Garcia's body language is so good. He carries himself so well. I believe whenever I believe he wants to fight. He's not afraid of anybody. Mm-hmm. He wants to fight. I thought this was effective. You set up a match next week, and it's against somebody in the ring that Adam Cole can go in and have a match with for the first time in 9-10 months. Mm-hmm. That is going to be a safe match, but also a good match.
Yeah. I appreciate Daniel Garcia coming out and doing the thing where he's like, hey, I'm going to list all these guys, beat them. I'm not going to tell you that Jericho cheated directly in all of these matches, which is the only reason why I beat him, because I am a sports entertainment heel. But I did also appreciate that they're still tiptoeing around that whole thing of, I am one of the best sports entertainers. Like, he's got to catch himself because he knows who he is on the inside. They're still doing that. And now they're running this thing with, now it's Adam Cole who's trying to get him to recognize who he really is. Like, they keep going back to this well. Eventually, when they have him realize who he is and come back to the good side of things, according to AEW fans, it's going to be an awesome moment. It's a weird thing. Like, the Yas being firmly involved in this House of Black thing, that they are doing this. Daniel Garcia getting to like break away from that for a week and go and do this Adam Cole match is kind of interesting, because you have them split onto two fronts. And that can either be like part of a overall storyline where like Daniel Garcia gets pulled away, further away from Yas, because he starts doing this thing with Adam Cole, or it's just like a 1 week thing. And I'm not really sure if anything's bad about either one of those things. Just the thing I noticed, because they're definitely continuing this, because Hager's got a match with Brody King on Rampage. So this Yas and House of Black thing is still firmly in place. It's just that we get a 1 week break for Daniel Garcia to go and do this Adam Cole thing.
It was a nice break to not have Jarrett or Yas on tonight. And yes. Yeah. Hala says, I wonder if the firm ran up a big bill at Wingstop. Ricky Starks interview. He challenges Juice to a match on Rampage. Cool. I'd like to see it on Dynamite. I watch that happens live, but
yeah. I mean, I guess they're trying to get some reason for people to tune in to Rampage on a night that doesn't normally run. if that's a match they're doing and not like a face-to-face confrontation, then it's going to be great. I want that match to be something I watch live on their show because it deserves.
I think as of now, it's supposed to be like a confrontation. I think that's based on the graphic that I saw. QTV, Aaron Solo hacked Dave Meltzer's Twitter account last week. That was a good shout. QT had a cheese plate.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice shot at some big dumb bitch. But I love the QTV thing. Like, they show Hobbs beating up Ray Phoenix. I just find this entertaining. I enjoy it. It's doesn't take a ton of time, and it sets up whatever they're going to do.
I think it's innocuous enough that it doesn't matter, but I hate it. I don't get it. I'm not terminally online enough to know what the hell Aaron Solo was talking about with the Observer thing.
Meltzer got his Twitter hacked last week.
I didn't pay attention to that. I don't know what that is. It's fine. It's whatever. It's just, it's not for me. If it's for you, great. It's 90 seconds. I can tune out whenever it's on. Like, I don't care. But I was like, am I crazy for hating this? And then a bunch of people replied to my tweet. It was like, no, you're not crazy. This sucks. So like, it is a very polarizing thing. Like, you either love it or you hate it. I think it doesn't matter if you love it or you hate it because it's 90 seconds and we can move on from it.
Yes. David says, if you watch the Tuesday and Wednesday review for the first time in the same week, you'll think Alex has multiple personalities. It's not his fault. Promise. They hit different.
It is my fault, but yes, I do have multiple personalities.
And somebody sent me a screenshot of your Sour Graps post, and they go, this guy's so annoying. And I said, scroll past. Like, it's not required viewing.
No.
Alex has a specific audience.
I do. And I'm fine. I'm fine with having my niche, and that's it. I don't need to expand. I'm not trying to bring in the casuals here. Like, I have my small niche of fans.
Ignore it, guys. You don't have to watch his shows if you don't want. Aaron Solo with the Banaka spray kills me. That's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Anime Otaku says, also, Cole referenced that cross promo. I missed that. I did.
No, he said. You know what makes me special, Daniel Garcia? When they ring the freaking bell, that's what makes me special. Okay. So they put that in there.
Also, that's true. John Moxley versus Stu Grayson. Just love seeing Stu Grayson back. He is all elite again. The BCC attacked Grayson backstage as well. The Real Nerd says, glad that he's back with AEW. Great match with Mox. I've told this story about 234 times, but I was at SummerSlam 2019. The three people that stood out to me that I hadn't seen work before were Stu, Uno, and Jody Threat. Stu is so good in the ring. So good in the ring. I could see him getting an All-Atlantic title shot one day or a TNT title shot and having just a killer 15-20-minute match on TV. And a lot of people would be like, oh, damn. And I think a lot of people said, oh, damn, here. And one of Stu Grayson's main complaints was, I'd much rather be on Dynamite one time than Dark 15 times. And for him, that was important. And it's nice that Tony immediately said, okay, I hear you. And the Dark Order conjures up emotions and has history that you can play off of. It's not like a charity case. He's good. He's very good. John Moxley, we knew he was going to win this. We knew it was going to be a good match. It was a good match.
Not only are you going to be on Dynamite right after re-signing with us, we're gonna have a singles match with one of our biggest stars, one of our most important wrestlers, and it was great. And I just don't know, man. I kind of love just absolute chaotic evil for BCC. They don't care. Like, we're going to ruin everyone's Christmas. I like, it's just, it's so cool that there's like, yeah, we're going to destroy it. Like, but we don't like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega because they backed up Hangman last week. So we're going to systematically take out the Young Bucks. And we know that Hangman is enough of a softy. He's going to go with them in the ambulance to the hospital, which leaves Kenny Omega completely wide open. Spoiler alert for the end of the show. But also, we haven't forgot about the Dark Order, who we also hate. So we're going to totally take out Stu Grayson after the match while he's being looked at by the trainer. And I love that, like, Moxley's standing there and he's like leaning on Stu's shoulder, drumming his fingers, and says, just business, kid. And then he puts him in the sleeper again. Like, this is like John Moxley leading a faction of guys who just want to mess with people is really, really
bullies.
Great.
They're bullies.
It's really great. They're just bullies. They're so, it's so good at it. I don't even need them to have like a defined, like this is who we're targeting. They're targeting everybody because they don't like anybody. That's great.
They were trying to put Stu Grayson to sleep, but they could have been a little nicer, Alex.
Yeah.
They could have put him to sleep on a Helix mattress. I'm going to be missing my Helix mattress next week. So let pre-recorded SRS tell you about it.
I'm not here right now. I'm on the road, and I'll tell you the thing I miss most is helixsleep.com/Fightful. When I do travel, I'm always worried about the night's sleep I'm going to get, but I don't have to worry about that at home. A few years ago, before there was a helixsleep.com/Fightful, I went to Helix Sleep. I was tired of the mattress I was sleeping on, and I got matched up to the right one for me at helixsleep.com. And now we've partnered with them for helixsleep.com/Fightful. You take a quick quiz. You don't have to go into a mattress store. They will match up the right one for you with their 14 unique mattress models. I went from just being able to sleep on my back to also being able to sleep on my side, which goes such a long way in keeping you asleep, making sure that you're rested, and your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. There's a 100-night risk-free trial. So if you don't like it for some reason, you're getting a full refund, and they'll come pick it up for you. And now they're offering up to $350 off all mattress orders at helixsleep.com/Fightful and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Fightful. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I am actually here, though. I did record that for when I'm not here, but right. I am actually here.
Yeah.
Just giving them a value read because I'm that kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of a guy. Tom LaValle says Alex has 69 passionate fans. Not even kidding.
James Beard says, how many followers I have on Twitter is 69.
Is it right now?
Yes. Well, I think it's more than that now, but it was as of yesterday.
So you and Kate hit that like the same time?
The same day, within an hour of each other.
That's remarkable. That's impressive.
I want to believe it's like 95% of the people who follow me also follow her and vice versa.
Yes. Sawyer says Blackpool Bully Club BBC is canon. I would like to not do that. Sawyer says failed to get this super chat in last week before the show ended, but I predicted Callis turning on Kenny with Takeshita. Feeling good about that tonight. Oh, Sawyer, we are going to be getting into that. Mm-hmm. Jambeard says, Sean, I disagree highly. Alex and Kate's variety hour of sour power is very much required viewing. Well, Tony Storm defeated Sky Blue. Sky Blue's being put in a lot of these situations, but got to see her win. She's got to win eventually. Thought it was happening tonight with the Riho pin. Honestly, when she rolled over there, thought the in-ring was good. The hip attack to the outside especially was good. I thought Tony delivered it well. I thought Sky Blue took it well. And then I loved the little kick beat down from Ruby and Soraya. I thought that was really, really great. Then I want something different. Because it's beat down, runoff, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Beat down, runoff, same thing. And I want to see something more. out of Riho, who has Triple H trembling in his boots every time he was reading the Tuesday or the Wednesday night ratings. Willow Nightingale, who's just, oh my God, she's such a positive star. And then Sky Blue, who's struggling to find an identity here because she's just putting in matches where she loses. Like, need something a little bit more. Now, there's no Britt tonight. There's no Jamie Britt. Tonight.
No Jamie. Yeah, the Sky Blue thing I struggle with because, like, I think it's interesting you have, a younger member of the homegrown club, and I think that's cool and everything. But, like, if Britt and Jamie, let's say, are the captains of this squad, why would they pick Sky Blue, who, like, doesn't win? Like, I mean, Rio's a former champion. Willow has had a lot of success in her career all over the place. Sky Blue is this girl who's been in AEW who doesn't win. And I think she's got a lot of potential, but they just haven't translated it into her being booked to win matches. And I thought tonight was the perfect opportunity with, like, some kind of ref distraction, things happening everywhere, a sneaky roll up when Toni Storm is distracted by Ruby and Saraya getting beat down by Rio and Willow on the outside. Whatever. I thought it was a great time for Sky Blue to get this big win over Toni Storm, which would then elevate her in the storyline, and they didn't do that. So, yeah.
And that was that. That was the segment. I don't know why they wouldn't have been out there with Sky Blue from the start.
Right.
That's the thing with me. I'm just like, okay, well, why wouldn't they just be there for her?
Because Riho running out with a pipe is basically that's also awesome. There, Sting rappelling from the rafters with a baseball bat. That's basically what it is.
I do like her running down to the ring with a pipe. It's a great visual. Yeah. It looks like La Parca running with a chair on WCW Revenge, where she's just like this. And even though La Parca was wearing a mask, you could see the joy face every time. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We are at the main event. But leave us a thumbs up on this video. There are ways you can support us even without donating super chats, humper chats, or subscribing to FightfulSelect.com. You can leave a thumbs up on the video. You can comment on the video afterwards, your favorite moment, general conversation. You can also head over to Apple and leave us a nice review there. Most of our views come by video or other platforms, so that helps Apple find us. So if you look on, like, the wrestling charts, we're usually in the 20s and 30s, but that's because, like, a ton of our views just come from video or downloads. So help us out there. It would mean an awful lot. G Bro says, hear me out. Sky Blue is Jamie Hayter's Ms. Dow. I don't know if I want Jamie in a comedic thing right now.
No.
I think there is a great role for comedic women's wrestlers that is untapped. I think Chelsea Green's doing great. I keep telling everybody, I think Wendy Chu could be like Santino, but good in the ring for the main roster. And I think that she would be really great. I thought she was tailor-made for the Royal Rumble. Don't know why they didn't do it. Like, she just falls asleep on the apron or something. Yeah. I thought that would have been pretty funny.
Yeah.
Hey, they ran a Vikingo and Kenny video package.
Yeah, they did it. I mentioned that. They gave you perfect context for the match that's happening. In that this was supposed to happen in December of 2021, but because of the injuries sustained by Kenny Omega, i.e. he had vertigo and everything else was wrong with his body and mind.
Knee, shoulder, like, I feel like he had a hernia as well.
Yeah, yep. All because of all that stuff. He wasn't cleared to wrestle, and so they had to put it off. He was out for almost a year. He's finally back. Vikingo is finally able and available. Let's do the match we were supposed to do a year and a half ago now. And here's the thing. For all the people who were like, this relative unknown, nobody knows. Everybody in Independence, Missouri sure knew who the hell this guy was. They were on him from the beginning. Like, they knew who they were getting to see.
Yeah, and this was special. This is one of the better matches in Dynamite history. And Vikingo is made out of elastic. There were some of those spots I was like, ugh! Like landed on his face, his head, his neck, and he was just like, nah. Top rope, Hurricane Rana. You had a spin into a Poison Rana. You had a Dragon Rana from the top of the ring post to the apron to the floor. You had I couldn't tell if it was a 450 or a 630 that turned around from the middle rope from the outside in. Mm-hmm. You had I think it was a 450 or a 630. Again, I couldn't see if he made the rotation. It was so quick.
The 630 was to the table to the outside.
That one was insane.
So ridiculous.
Just insane. This was a Vikingo showcase is what this was.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega was on the offense like 85% of the time, but he's got that move. He's got the one winged angel that just knocks you down. My God, man, it's just unfreaking real how good he was. And this, that's the thing. So many people said, don't worry. If you're saying who right now and you actually watched the show, you won't be saying who on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
You'll be saying, oh, that's the guy. That's him.
Yeah.
Just,
I like everything about this was great. I love the story of it, of Kenny being blindsided by this guy's speed and aggressiveness at the beginning. Then Kenny realizing, I've probably got about 70 pounds on this guy. I'm going to try and use they're so funny when because Kenny's so explosive. So
shout out to AEW, actual channel in the chat.
Yeah. They're big fans of mine. So I love that Kenny is so explosive and he's usually able to, he's not the fastest guy, but in spurts, nobody gets from point A to point B once faster than Kenny Omega. That's that thing. But he's in a match with a guy who's as fast as that all the time. And so he had to be he had to get vertigo again, spinning around trying to find out where the guy was. That's an awesome story within the match. And then he realizes, oh, no, I can just pick this dude up and herk him places. Like that snap dragon, nothing's had more snap in that dragon. Like that was great. All of this was so excellent.
I can't believe Kenny wrestled with vertigo. I had it. I didn't know that I had it for a long time because when you start to have it, you don't realize it as much. His came from getting a knee dropped on his head by Okada. Right. But like it makes everything more difficult, like from defending single legs to just bumping because the room spins. Yeah. And he was competing at the highest level possible.
I also want to give a shout out to Vikingo. I love his ring gear. It's so unique. More dudes should wrestle in corseted tunics that are lined with fur. That was so cool to like watch a guy go out there in some completely different thing I've never seen in a wrestling ring. It was great.
God, I can't remember which wrestler it was, which Mexican wrestler that didn't have their gear show up. But I kind of do wish that Vikingo's gear didn't show up and he had to borrow Stokely's. Living Dead Frank says, what a showcase match for Vikingo. Yeah. I love how Kenny gave him his space, put the spotlight on him. He's a special talent. Never seen many moves that he did. And then Jordan Cooper says, he didn't even do his most impressive move. And he's unreal. I've seen him do a springboard top rope, one-footed shooting star to the outside that I can't imagine any human being able to pull off. Kidman used to do springboard shooting stars to the outside, but I don't know about one star, but he was unbelievable. He was so good. So good. Brent Lockman says Omega sending love letters to Ibushi via neck bumps. I hope they're both feeling okay there. Amish Electrician says shout out to -1 running AEW's YouTube tonight. I don't know if that's a shoot or not. I have no idea. I hope it is.
I hope it is too. Cause he's great.
The Real Nerd says, holy crap, that main event with Kenny and Vikingo was something else. This is why I love AEW. It was Bandido his gear didn't show up and he had to run around town getting that stuff. This was special. This was great. Big E, not that one, says, hey guys, nice to see Kenny's back in singles competition. Yes, and that's what Don Callis is pointing towards. Mm-hmm. Don Callis is very much trying to push Kenny towards Best Bout Machine and Wrestling God and all that stuff. We're starting to see Don Callis be a slimy little shit. He's starting to be that Cyrus that I'm watching on the ECW on TNN rewatches.
Don Callis is Kenny's manager. Don Callis gets a portion of Kenny's paycheck. Kenny Omega gets paid more if he's the AEW world champion. Like, it's simple as that. Like, I get more money if I make you not, like, running around with your friends doing fun little tag matches. You need to be, you're the best wrestler in the world. You need to prove it, and therefore I get more money. But I loved him pushing that away, pushing him away from, like, Dad, don't worry about the Young Bucks. They're fine. I sent Nakazawa. It'll be fine. The idea that he would push him away from the Young Bucks made me think for a bit that we're going to do, well, BCC versus the Hung Bucks is the match. You don't have to worry about Kenny. Kenny's going to be doing his own thing. But then BCC insists on involving Kenny Omega in it. So there's that whole thing too. I love that there's so many layers to this story.
There's the Takeshita layer that we don't even know about yet.
We don't know about that yet.
Like right now, Takeshita is the very lovable guy that has just started to win.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what happens if Callis takes him and he turns on Kenny? It would be great. Jambeard says, the top rope powerbomb counter into the Rana had me legit worried about Kenny's neck and skull. Clenched my whole body on that landing. Oh, me too. There were several spots that I was like, ah.
Mm-hmm.
Dream Ninja says, anyone checked on Righteous Reg recently? That spot Fu main event may have overloaded him. That was amazing. Check out our friend Righteous Reg. He is on the ROH Impact post show every Thursday with Kate. Then they pass it off to Cresta and Joe or Joel for the Impact show. And then he's on Grapsody every week with Will Washington and Phil. And also, if you ain't got enough Dynamite today, day after Dynamite on Thursday with Will Washington. Mike McVaney says, what a show. When AEW is on its game, no one can touch it. QTV is great. Vikingo is God. Can't wait for next week's Hangman and Elite story. AEW. I mean... Starting to get it back where Wednesdays, I'm like, hell yeah, Dynamite.
Kenny getting jumped by BCC and then Hangman showing up in the ambulance. Listen, it's me. This is what I do. I've never understood why a guy has to steal an ambulance in the day and age of Ubers. I've never understood why a guy has to steal an ambulance to get back from the hospital. To the arena, but it's fine. There was a cool moment, and he comes down to the ring. He's got a board with nails in it, which is what you find at a hospital. I love this moment where Don Callis falls over and pretends that Hangman hit him with the board. God,
we're getting to that in a minute. Arduit says, my God, what a show, main event and ending. The endings are keeping me hooked till the next week. Crazy concept. The crowd was hot. Yes, this was a good cliffhanger that had you going, okay, what happens next week? What happens next week?
Right.
Tom LaValle says, clap, 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 clap. You deserve it. No, seriously, you both rule. Main event was absurd in the best way. Talking jaw on the floor over and over again. Yes, and everybody that watches AEW knows what Kenny can do. They already know. So this was showing them what Vikingo can do. And also Vikingo, even though he lost, he's going to say, damn, this was big for me. This was an important night for me. King of the North says, watch out for Jeff Cobb in St. Louis next week, by the way. Might be speaking to Jeff Cobb pretty soon. G Bro says Don Callis versus plus Adam Cole equals world's slimiest shits. Well, as Alex mentioned, Hangman showed back up to save Kenny Omega. Don Callis is screwing about. And Don Callis bumps. Now, remember, Don Callis was a worker.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, his last singles match was against Eric Watts in TNA. I've tried to forget about that for a very, very long time. But he did work. So he took that bump and he sold it for Kenny. But here's the thing. Yes. Kenny can just watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
So if they tell me that Kenny doesn't know about this by next week, I'll be like, what the hell? because somebody's gonna tell Kenny.
Oh, like, yeah. Nah, that's the other thing is that Ken, I like Kenny being not the biggest fan of Hangman, but he should also be not the biggest fan of the Bucks. Somebody had to show him the Bucks giving the nod to Hangman. I mean, he was out for a long time. Somebody had to show him that.
I could see him being like, I ain't watching that match. I lost the world title.
That's fine. That's a good enough explanation for me.
You know, Cody says, I'm never watching the Peck match again, ever, period.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be, I mean, this took a year away from Kenny Omega. However, this was just an arbitrary ending to, Dynamite.
No, wrestling television cannot get away from nobody talks to each other during the 7 days they are apart from each other.
And at least in Lucha Underground was a lot different because it was a cinematic thing. Right, it wasn't a show. It was different. Jane Beard says Don doesn't want Kenny to have friends. Force of Will says Callis is up to something. I'm not sure what yet. Something slimy. He's a slimy piece of shit. Now here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Kenny knows that. Yeah. Kenny's very aware of that. Mm-hmm. Force of Will also says safe play by Callis. Kenny still hasn't watched Full Gear 2021. Sure, but somebody's going to tell him. Sawyer, they're in a group chat together, for the love of God. That was on BTE. Yes.
Yep.
Sawyer says Elite plus Hangman versus BCC plus Takeshita for blood and guts. I could see Takeshita joining and getting some edge to him. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really good. Eloquent says, hear me out. It was Don Callis who left the group chat on Kenny's phone on BTE. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Probably.
Sure.
David Ortiz says, I see Takeshita versus Kenny because of Don. I do too. Lupongi Vice says, so basically, fuck Don Callis' bitch ass. I like that it conjures that emotion.
It's a safe bet.
Trey Cash has been so generous to us. I want to thank him. I sent him an email recently thanking him, but I want to thank him again because he always sends these generous super chats and humber chats. And he says, could Hangman rejoining the Elite be a possible road to a Punk return and feud with all the Elite as though Hangman was the catalyst for Punk's Brawl Out rant? To that I say, Trey, I fucking hope so. I hope they get past this, and I hope we get a year's worth of Punk wrestling. Hangman, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Colt goddamn Cabana too, for the love of God. Get him involved. Or you heal Colt Cabana and he teams up with Punk after all that bullshit. Give it to me.
Uh-huh.
I want this. I want these swerves. I want all this stuff. I want CM Punk to look at this situation and go, you know, this is going to be the best storyline of my life. Maybe better than 2011. Maybe better than me coming back. Maybe better than MJF. Maybe better than Summer of Punk. I want this to be the most creatively satisfying thing ever. I want it so bad because it would be white hot and we'd be doing 2-hour post shows.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Oh, my God. I just... Now, I get it. There's a lot of people that are like, I don't want him back here. Guys, within the next week or so, I will have probably the biggest update on CM Punk that I've had in a few months because it's been very quiet.
Okay.
But I've been digging around. I've been asking about a lot of status stuff, about how he feels. I've been asking. I got a little bit today on FightfulSelect.com. I'm working on it. Might drop it next week ahead of WrestleMania because I feel like afterwards it might get lost in it. But FightfulSelect.com, $5. Promise you guys it's worth it. Brent Lockman says, so from that ending, there is a Blackpool in Canada. Sure, it's Quebec, but that still counts. Shot Kid says, hear me out. Don dumps the Elite for BCC to chase the paycheck and seduces Takeshita. Builds to the men's blood and guts with BCC and Reunited Elite, and if they can get him, Ibushi. Well, I think right now it's Omega, Matt, Nick, and Hangman, the Elite. Mm-hmm. But with BCC, we got the three guys there. I would love to see Danielson come back and join them. And Takeshita. That's what I want. N. Simmons says, Amazing main event pay-per-view quality level. Very good push in the story. I loved how Don pulled an Eddie. He's clearly bad, but makes a valid point. Yeah, I mean, he's. I would love a devil's advocate character. I don't want it to be Don Callis, but I think he could pull it off. I think actually the direction they were going with Karrion Kross before he got fired was like, ooh, that'd work for him. But Don Callis, I think it'd work really well. I love me some Sova says, my theory, Don had Kenny's phone, removed Kenny from the group chat without Kenny's knowledge.
Possibly.
And that's also the thing. They see each other. They're going to they're gonna say something about that.
Right.
Jane Beard says he's no longer Joel Pearl. He's now Joe Pear. Well, Joe Pear did some great interviews that we're dropping on Fightful. We're going to work to get our interviews out in a more timely method because we're getting so many of them that I no longer have to ration them. So we're just going to rush them out. We got a bunch that are dropping. YouTube.com/Fightful. But we are on podcast platforms everywhere. Let's wrap this up. We got a couple more super chats. Jordan Scott says, do you all think Sky Blue is there temporary for Sheeta? I think they would have somebody else fill in for Sheeta because Sheeta's a former world champ. She's in Japan right now. But yeah, Anime Otaku says, love the clash between Rio's cute clothes and hair. Then the fact that she's swinging a pipe at people. Kind of want her to upgrade to a barbed wire bat. I don't think they'll do a bat because Jericho's got the bat. And I know they've been particular in some instances and not doing that. But I think Riho's great. And for all the people that are like, oh, she's too little. He's too little. Or she's too little. Well, she's got a pipe.
The steel pipe is an equalizer.
Brent Lockman says, has anyone seen Cheeseburger since the ROH taping? He's wrestling Joe tomorrow. He's been training in Mexico, actually. I want to shout out Cheeseburger. I don't know why he's not signed by anybody yet, but he would be a very versatile signing. I'm talking probably agent producer if you wanted him to do it. He can train wrestlers. He is one of the most underrated in-ring performers there are right now, especially from a technical aspect. Cheeseburger, CB, absolutely killing it. The type of person everybody should want in their locker room. We got Luis checking to see if there's anything left in the Humper Chats and Super Chats. But Irene says, I'm just fine discovering who a wrestler is via a match, with or without a story. Didn't see a Sting vignette as a kid, but became a big fan anyway. And it doesn't necessarily have to be upon their debut, because some of Sting's most powerful vignettes came a decade into his career. Mm-hmm. And completely reinvigorated his career.
I had no idea. Like I watched Nitro when I was in my freshman year in college, specifically because I loved the cruiserweight matches. And then some guy came on with his crazy mask and like red hammer pants, doing ridiculous flips. Whose name was Blitzkrieg.
Loved him.
No idea who he was, but by the end of the first match I saw him in, I was like, this is my favorite wrestler in the world. And I didn't have any vignettes about him. I just saw him wrestle one match and I was like, this is my dude. So yeah, I mean, you can
still one of my favorites. Still one of my favorites. If anybody happens to have a line to Blitzkrieg, please hit me up. I'll tell you a couple people I'm trying to interview. Blitzkrieg. I wanted to interview Elix Skipper, but I think that's a better story told for another friend that I know. But Rick Martel, I'm trying to interview Rick Martel about his 1998 WCW run. And I know it's a long shot, but hey, it's worked in the past. You just never know. And Vasco says that main event, wow, future AEW plans for Vikingo. Oh, I know they'd love to bring him in. I'm sure NXT is going to try to hit him up too. That's like NXT. The rib is that any time that AEW has a Mexican wrestler that isn't under contract on their show, NXT hits them up right afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
Marco says, you guys coming to the show of shows next week? I'll be heading home Saturday afternoon before WrestleMania. I am more useful here than I am in a press box or a press conference room because I can do the post show. I can answer your all super chats. I get cell phone service here so I can get scoops and all that good stuff. So guys, thank you all so much. We had a great night tonight. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It would mean an awful lot. Got that Q&A coming up this week. 40 plus shows, hundreds of news reports every single month. Until next time, guys, we're out.